All right, I had to take a little break there for a second. But we were looking at last week that we were talking about circumcision. Okay, and that circumcision was God's removing of the veil of the flesh. Okay, that stood in the way. Okay, that the source of life, that incorruptible seed was hidden from mankind. And that a veil had to be removed for that source of life to make itself present. Okay, and that's what we talked about. It was what God didn't just choose this very cruel, painful thing to do to a young baby, a young male baby, just because he liked to see something hurtful. Okay, he purposefully did that because he was painting a very vivid picture. We're going to be looking at another very vivid picture this morning, and that is motherhood in regards to childbirth. And again, as much as God has laid out this picture of circumcision in his word for the male, he has also given us some very clear instructions for ladies in this same regard, all right? Believe me, if I had my druthers, I'd just skip this passage of scripture altogether, okay? But when we choose to go verse by verse through God's word, it will bring us parts of the Bible. Now, I understand and you understand, there are parts of the Bible which are much more important than other parts of the Bible, right? Okay, that was very, very sarcastic. Every single word of God that he has put in his book is of utmost importance. So, the fact that sometimes we'll read over these things and not deal with the subject matter is doing a disservice to God's word. If God decided in his wisdom to put these words into his Bible, they are important. So, with that in mind, here we go. Okay. Look at verse 2, if you would, chapter 12. Speaking unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman hath conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of her separation of her infirmity she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. If she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. When the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering to the door of the congregation, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord to make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that has borne a male or a female. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Lord, please be with my mind. Help it to present this in a way that will be honoring to you. And Lord, clear about this picture that you have for us in your word. Lord, again, there are passages of scripture that we don't gravitate to. Lord, when we're sharing, but Lord, it makes them no less important than any other passage. And Lord, again, this picture, this understanding is amazing. And Lord, it will help us maybe clear up some other issues in this world and the struggles that we have in our culture, Lord, and questions of gender and sexuality. And so, Father, just please go before us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, there is a difference between men and women. Okay, now I warned us in Sunday school that we were going to talk about this. This is a hot button issue. I will tell you right now, it's an extremely hot button issue. I told my wife basically the subject we were talking about, and she said, we won't post this one online. Okay, just because it is such a hot button issue. But listen, there's a difference between men and women. They are not the same, okay? And this is a very, very important understanding that we have. Now, does that mean they're any less in value toward one another? Absolutely not. They are just as important as individuals, no matter what sex you are. But there is a difference, Okay, and again, I could go off on the political and the whole concept here. Our world would like to tell us that there's no difference. But I wrote this down carefully because I wanted to make sure this is an absolutely undeniable biblical truth. Undeniable. And here's the key. If you are a biblical, Bible-believing Christian, you can come to no other conclusion. Period. Now, there are a lot of people who would say they believe in God who may come to a different conclusion. There are a lot of people who may say they ask Jesus to be their Savior. There's a difference between just believing in God and accepting Christ as your Savior. You may do both of those things and still believe that there is no difference. That sex and gender, all these things are pliable and malleable, and you can do whatever you want with them, but you are not a biblical, Bible-believing Christian. That means this has no foundation in your life. Now, that's a bold statement, I understand, but there are Christians in this world who are getting wishy-washy on this issue. Okay, you want a great verse? Chapter to read to help you understand this? Read Genesis chapter 1. Male and female created he them. Adam and Eve. All right? There's a deliberate two different kinds. Period. You want to wishy-washy that out? Don't you dare try to put that in God's plate. That is mankind's thinking totally. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I want... Well, Pastor, that's kind of bold. You lose the imagery that God gives us. Okay, case in point, we just covered circumcision last week. If there ain't no males, then where does circumcision fit in as a picture? It has to be because God made that. You take the entire picture of God dealing with the flesh if you take away the idea that there are males in this world. Okay, and that they are males on the eighth day. They don't get to choose when they're five whether or not they're a male. They're a male on the eighth day. Period. Okay, nod with me so I don't feel so... Okay, good. Whew. We're dealing with a heavy subject here. As a matter of fact, this is an amazing thing. Over 700 times just in the Old Testament, the word for woman is used. Okay? Isha is the Hebrew word for woman. Of those 700 times, only 150 times is it actually translated woman. It is actually translated wife the majority of the time. So 150 some odd times it's translated as woman. The rest of the time it is translated as wife. Okay? Gives you an idea when God is using this word, he has imagery in his mind. He is not just declaring a sexual, you know, conclusion about that person. He is speaking about a specific designed role that he has put them in. You with me so far? If we lose this imagery, and please hang on to this, because by the time we get to the end, we're going to see why our culture is in so much trouble. All right? With that in mind. Now, please, I'm trying to be careful, because this is a sensitive issue. I am not approving of gender stereotypes. I'm not trying to influence stereotypical things. Listen, there are people in this world, male people in this world, who tend to act a little bit more feminine, and that's okay. And there are males in this world, females in this world, who tend to have a little bit more masculine traits. That's okay too. God's made us all. But the issue here is, listen, that doesn't mean because you might act a little bit more feminine or act a little bit more masculine that you're not what you are. All right? That's just period. There is no questioning here. The problem is, in our human mentality, we have said, oh, well, little boy wants to dress up in a dress today. That means that they are struggling with their identity. No, it is not. Okay, sometimes people are going to have characteristics in their life that may be a little different than somebody else's. You with me? Please, we got to be on top of this. The problem we have in Christianity and in our world today is because we don't deal with these issues from behind the pulpit, because we're afraid to talk about them. Well, God's word is pretty clear on this. So, women here are given some consequences in childbirth. If you bear a male child, and I hope you pick this up, I don't know if you're real quick on your math when it comes to scores and things like that. If you bore a male child, ladies, you had to set yourself apart for 7 days and then 33 days. Okay, which adds up to 40 days. Now, any of you who are Bible students, that 40 days should remind you of something. Okay, the number 40 in the Bible is the number of trials and testing. If you've ever had a baby, it's a trial. It's a testing. Okay, and again, I'm not making this up. Jesus was, how many days was he tempted of the devil?
40.
How many days did, or how many years did they wander in the wilderness?
40.
Okay, how many days did it rain for Noah and the ark? 40. This is a consistent number through God's word. Okay, if you bear a male child, you had to set yourself apart for 40 days because it pictures the trials and the struggle that come from childbirth. Now, if you bore a female child, you had to set yourself apart for 14 days plus 66 days. That was 80 days. Okay, so a male child, you set yourself apart for 40 days. A female child, you had to set yourself apart for 80 days because girls are a pain in the neck. No, that is not the truth. That was just being smart, okay? On Mother's Day, I've got a lot of nerve to say that, don't I? We'll circle back to that. We'll return to that subject here in a minute. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I hope through this morning it'll add some clarity to many issues when it has to deal with husband and wife, male and female in this world. Genesis chapter 3. So we know the story. Satan himself comes and presents himself to Eve and begins to question God's commandment. They had a one-verse Bible, Adam and Eve. They had one commandment. Oh, I could have kept God's commandment. They had one and they couldn't do it, let alone our 10 commandments and then the rest of God's word. They had one commandment. Okay, and the devil shows up. Now, please, there are so many of us that have been talked into this idea that there was this lizard-like being that had a tail and this and everything else when Eve showed up and talked to him. And even me, when I was like, it must have been pretty shocking to walk up and have a lizard talk to you. Understand something, and this is as we're studying the Word of God more and more. The devil throughout the Word of God is presented as a serpent, a dragon, that old serpent. It's very unlikely that a lizard-looking creature was what she was talking to. God uses this imagery to tell us that it was the devil himself. We understand from the New Testament that God says that Satan himself can present himself as an angel of light. Now, there will be some more that we'll add to this in a minute, but I sincerely doubt this was a snake-like creature. I think the devil came and showed up looking pretty awesome. And he begins to talk to Eve, and he tempts her and deceives her into sinning and taking of the fruit. Okay, and here, because of that, the fall. Now, if you're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So this is the curse that is given unto women. Aren't you so happy on Mother's Day? Okay. So he still, I says, I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. As a matter of fact, the way the Hebrew writes it is, if you look, it says, what verse am I looking at again? 16, right?
Yeah.
Unto the woman I will greatly multiply. You know that word greatly and multiply is the same word. He says, I will multiply. He's letting it know because of what has happened, because of the fall, because of her being deceived by the devil himself, the consequence was she was going to have troubles and sorrows in her childbirth. This plays very much into what we're reading in Leviticus. Not only that, and I can't speculate here, guys, but it says, I'm going to multiply thy sorrow, and I'm going to multiply thy conception. Now, does that mean that all of a sudden God says you're going to have a lot more kids than they planned on? I don't think so. I don't know if initially Eve was going to spend 9 months pregnant. I don't. Because God says, I'm going to multiply not only thy sorrow, the trouble that you have, but I'm going to multiply the actual conception. But I'm going to add to it and make it more tedious, more of a toil, more of a struggle than it originally would have been. Again, I'm trying to make sure you read from the Word. You're hearing me. I'm not making this up, right? I'm reading it directly from the Word of God. He says, I'm going to multiply the sorrow, the tribulation, the struggles, the toil, but I'm also going to multiply the actual conception. There's going to be a difference from this point forward in the way a woman gives birth. Now, just like we spoke of circumcision, God did not do this just because he wanted to be cruel to a little male baby. God does not do this, just as like that, to be cruel to a woman in her birthing. But he is picturing a truth. Okay? And that is very important that we understand this. The fall caused women to have struggles in this area, because from this point forward, God is picturing that a woman would bring forth a stillborn. That from this point forward, everyone that is reproduced in this life will be dead spiritually. If you really want biblical verses on that, go back about 3 weeks and listen to the tape. Okay? Paul reminds himself that he is dead in his flesh. Okay? We are dead spiritually. We have a problem. This sin nature that we carry around, and until God, and again, that is why we are so needing to be born again, because our first birth is in death. God wants to bring forth new life in you through new birth. Very important, but understand. So this is the issue. Because Eve was deceived and there was a fall, there was a curse given upon Adam, there is a curse given upon Eve. And that is deliberately affecting her child birthing. And now God is dealing with setting us some ground rules on that in Leviticus. There's a problem. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be back here in, you can reference that later if you want. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul adds some understanding to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 2. Now this again is why this is important, why God responded in this way. And again, this is one of the reasons why I'm almost positive it was not a snaky snake that she was talking to in the garden. Okay? 11 verse 2. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that ye may present it as a chaste virgin for Christ. So Paul is talking to the church and said, listen, you're engaged, and I want you to be pure when your husband shows up. Now look at the next verse. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So she says, like a virgin who was tempted by someone else besides her husband, the devil came and tempted Eve. This is why I don't think this is a snake. Folks, God says very clearly that the devil comes and presents himself as an angel of light. He is the ultimate imitator. He is the ultimate copycat. The voice of God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve every single day. I think Satan showed up in a very beautiful form, and Eve went, ooh. Ooh. Now listen, this is important, because these two things play out so much in what we're talking about. Why is it that God said the husband is going to rule the wife? Because we men are so much better. If I unbutton my shirt, there'd be a big S. Right? No. Understand this. Please stick with me, because this is... There are so many people who struggle with this in Christianity and in this world and talk about the Bible so misogynistic and everything else. Listen. Eve did not value her husband. Now, please understand something. The commandment that says every tree of the knowledge of the good, every tree in the garden you shall eat of, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That commandment in Genesis chapter 2, verse, if you want the verses, it's 15 through 18, was given to Adam. Eve was not there. Now listen, they had a one verse Bible. The commandment on how to behave in that garden was given to Adam. If you read the next passage, it says, and God said it was good for man not to be alone. So he created Eve. So the commandment was given to Adam. So when Eve is speaking to the serpent, the devil, and she quotes this verse, how did she know that verse? He instructed her. He told her. He conveyed to her what God's wishes were. She decided that she was going to listen to the devil rather than listen to her husband. She did not value her husband and what her husband had told her. This is why part of the punishment is your husband is going to be over you, because you decided to disregard the commandment that I had given to Adam for you to listen to, and you didn't. On the other hand, Adam valued his wife way too much. So you have a broken relationship. Eve didn't value her husband. Adam did. You know why? Because now Eve has sinned. God shows up. Adam in his mind said, I can obey God or I can go with my wife. What did he choose? He went with his wife. And that's why the Bible is clear that says Eve was deceived, but Adam chose. Eve decided, you know what? My husband told me that, but what you're saying sounds awful nice, you pretty little serpent. And that fruit looks awfully pretty, and it's kind of delicious, and you know, if it does make me wise, who cares what Adam said, God said. Adam, on the other hand, said, you did what? Oh, no. I love you. And I hate being alone. God, I'm sorry, but I choose her and sin and destruction and death for the rest of creation. You see the thing here, what's going on. And so a curse comes forth. Adam will need to shed blood, but so will the woman. And from this point forward, her childbirth will be a toil, pain, and it will be different than it was before. That's one question after studying this. I'm waiting to get to God in heaven and say, all right, Lord, so how would Eve have born children? If you multiplied her conception, if conception was changed from that point forward, what would it have been? You know, she conceives and the next night, there's the baby, you know? I don't know. God says, I'm going to multiply this. I'm going to make it so much more toil, so much more sorrow, so much more struggle than I originally planned. Why? Because now you are not bringing forth a child in the image of God. You are now bringing forth a child in the image of Adam in the flesh, and it's dead spiritually. First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. God continues on this same theme. And again, if we don't understand this Old Testament picture, it's disjointed on how do we talk about male and female relation, husband and wife relationship in this present world. Look at verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. The Apostle Paul has given more instruction in regards to this. Now, please, I want to step back just for a minute. And Ellie and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, and how many people, if they don't understand the truth of God's word, will twist things. You know, there are groups in Christianity that talk about a woman needs to have as many children as possible, and they base it on this verse, that a woman will be saved in childbearing, that the more children you have, the more guarantee you have of being right with God. That is not what this verse means, guys. But there are very large groups in Christendom that will say, oh, you can't even practice any kind of birth control. Because, you know, your job, woman, is to produce as many children as possible because that's how you're saved. Okay, please, please be careful. We know salvation is by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that you and I can do in this physical body to guarantee us a heavenly eternity. This word saved here is not talking about eternal salvation. This issue is from now, from the time where Eve was cursed until now, and whenever God continues until the end, that a woman is very vulnerable and in a time of struggle and sorrow and hardship when she is in childbirth. A woman is weak when she is in childbirth. Okay? Now, I know some of you might have held your hand of your wife when she was giving birth, and you realize she wasn't that weak. That all the bones in your hand might have been crushed to a pulp. Okay, we're not talking about physically weak. As a matter of fact, I've watched childbirth. I think men would quit after a little while. I quit. I give up. God gives women an amazing strength. We're not talking about she is incapable of childbearing. She is vulnerable when she is with child. And I don't just necessarily mean pregnant. Moms, how many of you would have done absolutely anything for your baby? You have it today. The whole world could be blowing up, but mama will do anything for her baby because pregnancy, childbearing, makes a woman vulnerable. You with me? Brian was talking about it today. There's just something special about the bond between a mom and a baby. I can't have that. I didn't have 9 months to build a relationship before that baby arrives. Moms have a special relationship with that. And this, guys, goes back to the fact that there is a difference between men and women. We were watching some show just the other night, and one of the people on there said, you know, I'd love for the fact that they would allow men to have babies because it's just not fair that women have to do all this work. They have to give up their careers. They have to give all this. It is the most amazing thing that God has done. But it makes a woman vulnerable. Now listen very carefully to this. Because of that vulnerability, because Eve was deceived, because there was this issue, God has put the man in a protective role over his wife when she is in that place. Let me say that again. The man is a protector in a role for his wife. He is a covering for her. And again, if I wanted to spend more time this morning and fold this sermon out even further, you ever read that passage where it talks about men should have their heads uncovered, or women should have their heads covered, that when a man prays, he shouldn't have his head covered, but a woman should, and the woman's covering is a man? You ever read that passage with me? You want to know why it says that? There's a little clause in there that says, because of the angels. Because a fallen angel had come and deceived Eve when she was in a vulnerable way, God puts a man as the authority to protect his wife when she is in a weakness. Now, again, I use that word with, oh my word, the pastor's saying that women are weak. Didn't say that. Because I'll tell you what, there are a lot of ways that men are weak compared to women. But there are certain areas of our lives that men are stronger than women and women are stronger than men. Yes. Hello. Any of you watched weightlifting before? Come on, I'm going to pick something simple and easy. Okay? Women cannot lift as much as men. Period. Does that mean men are better? No! It just means men have a strength in that area. Well, when it comes to this childbirth issue, women have a weakness. Now listen, this is why this is so important. Now catch this with me. Don't let any of these words fall down. Okay, this last verse says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue. It was talking about husbands and wives. And it says, she is going to be saved in childbearing if they continue. Who's the they? The man and the woman. Guys, you know one of the hardest issues right now in this world is today there are men impregnating women and then disappearing. You know, there's a phrase out there, and I hate it. Oh, it just turns my stomach. It makes the hair on my back just baby daddy. You ever hear that phrase? If not, you're blessed. But a woman will say, oh, this is my baby daddy. Meaning, I don't really have a relationship with this guy. He's just the one that helped me get pregnant so I could be a mom. You know how many unfortunate, stereotypical jokes are going around about professional athletes? Who professional athletes in football, basketball, all these different sports have seven different children.